Brother Bob just read to us, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I hope we can learn how to cry. I hope we don't learn how to pray. Well, Brother Don, you say this. I love to hear a man pray before he learns how to. Oh, if we could just cry to the Lord. Well, Kevin, what good's that? That ain't religious enough. Well, that's what God hears. If you're in real trouble, He's going to deliver you if you cry to Him. He'll have to make you cry. That's what we're going to look. Did you know what I was preaching from this morning? Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I thought of this message, do you need to be healed? And I thought if I was going to be provocative, I would probably title this, you need a vaccine. Medicine that cures. You need free health care. We need universal health care. That's a lot of topics people stand on in these days. What a frightening, sad thing it is. You need to be healed. You need to be healed. Psalm 107, verse 20 will be our text. We'll be looking at the whole psalm. But verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If anyone's ever healed physically, this needs to be said. If anyone is ever healed physically, it's God that healed them. The snake oil might have been the means. The antibiotics might have been the means. The cures and the remedies and all these nonsense names people have might have been the means God used. God did the healing physically. He may be pleased to use means, but it's His working. And if anyone's not physically healed, it's the other side of the coin, isn't it? This will be all of us one day. It's God that kills them. If someone's not healed and they die, God killed them. It was their appointed time. It pleased Him to kill them. You know what that means? Either way, it's His will. If in this physical body I'm healed, that's His will. And if I ain't, and that's the means He uses to kill me, that's His will. It pleases Him. We read that in 1 Samuel, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. If we're going to have spiritual life, that's going to be the order. God's going to slay us first. And then He'll give us life. We have to be brought down first to the grave all the way. And then we'll be brought up. We're going to have to cry, not say a prayer. I hate that. Well, let's say grace. Let's say a prayer. Don't you dare do that. You knock that off. Cry unto the Lord. If you ain't got nothing to cry, then hush. Get something to say to Him. This text isn't talking about the physical healing. It's speaking of the disease of the soul. There's many people, all people born in Adam, they are terribly sick. And they don't know it. Or they flat don't care. I ain't got no symptoms. Meh. And they don't care. It's an abomination. Maybe some here. Deathly ill. And I'm not talking about diabetes. I ain't talking about high blood pressure. I'm not talking about cancer. I'm talking about the sin sickness of the soul. Eternally deadly. Not just physically deadly. There are some here that have been healed in the heart by that great physician. That's what the Lord's going to speak about here. Given eternal life. He's the one that does the healing. And He preserves that life that He gives for eternity. For eternity. It says in verse 20, He sent His word. Man ain't part of that, is he? He sent His word and healed them. And He didn't just set you back to zero, now it's on you. And delivered them from destruction, from their destructions. Delivered them from themselves. Are you interested in that? Most people ain't. Hush. Or I'll just go off in la-la land. I'm interested in that. My first question is for those that, who's this for? Who's this for? If He sent His word and He's going to heal them and He's going to deliver them from their destructions, who is that for? Who's going to be healed? Who's going to have complete and total healing? That means to be dead and be in the presence of the Lord. Who's going to be in His presence? Who's going to be delivered from what we rightfully earn? Who? Who? Verse 17 tells us, fools. Are you a fool? Have you ever been a fool? I pray so. Verse 17 says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Fools. They've transgressed. They have iniquities. That's why they're afflicted. That's why they need healing. They're afflicted in the soul. That's the most insulting thing you could say to someone. You're a fool. You're a fool. Insulting someone's looks, that might sting, but well, that's your opinion. You know, insulting somebody's ability. You can't dunk that basketball or whatever, I don't know. That may hurt a little bit, but it digs deep when you call someone a fool. Why? Because that affects their pride. And that says everything you've been doing ain't right. Everything you think right is wrong. It's foolish. It's foolish. I ask this question. Were you a fool when God brought His gospel to you? Well, no, I had a pretty good handle on it. You better be a fool. You better be afflicted by your own foolishness, or God ain't going to heal you. Because you're well. You don't need a physician. Fools brought this affliction on themselves. Were you saying no to everything that God is? Were you saying no to everything that God does? Well, no, I was religious. That's fighting the Word of God, isn't it? That's what we read in Psalm 14. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. There is an italics. That's still true. There is no God. Well, I'm an agnostic. I'm an atheist. You're lying to yourself and to me. You know there's a God. It's written in your heart. You might have drowned it out. But the fool says, no God. No God. I got promoted or demoted at work. No. I got in a fender bender. No. This didn't come through. This didn't work the way I wanted it to. No. You're crying, no God. You're a fool. Ain't God going to do right? Didn't He send this? What about this body? This whole side has been aching all week. Do I cry, no. God sent it. And I say, yes, thank you, Lord. Wonderful. We'll get to that. I'll get ahead of myself. They're fools because they trespass. That's rebellion. That's transgression. Fools because they're transgression. You're trespassing. You've trespassed on God's law, on His Word, on what He said. You've trespassed on His Son. There's been many that's trespassed in the position of His positions, of prophet. Well, I can tell you about God. They sin themselves. They sin themselves as priests. You got to go through me. If you got to say something, come to me. There's floods this world. There's churches, so-called churches, on every street corner. And they fulfill themselves as king. They decide. They make the rules. You got to clear everything through me first. Not let's clear it through God's Word. Does that work? How about let's run this place the way God says run this place? Not what my opinions are. Isn't that a good idea? It's wise, isn't it? But man wants to present himself as the prophet, man wants to present himself as the priest, and man wants to present himself as the king. People's worried to death about the mark of the beast. That's because you're foolish and you don't know nothing. Man wants to set himself 6, right? The number of man as the prophet, priest, and king. I'm going to be all and in all. That's what man wants. They're fools. They're fools because they trespass on God's property, on His Son, on His salvation, and they're fools because of iniquities. What's that? Evil. Perverseness. We're inequitable. We don't have equity. There's a debt of sin. We're fools because we're in debt. And you know what we do? We're going in debt harder. That's something you got to teach teenagers. We learned that in high school. Well, how come you bounced all these checks? Well, I ain't out of money. I still got checks. Can we laugh about that? Well, you can't write a check if there ain't nothing there. You're going to bounce it. This is grade school stuff. We're fools because we've sinned against God and we keep sinning against God. That's man's will. That's man's free will. It's bound to his nature and it keeps fighting God. And we're fools because they hate the meat of the gospel. The only thing that can nourish us. Look at verse 18. They're fools because their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. And they draw near unto the gates of death. They're fools because they're starving in malnutrition. Their souls are starving. And a meal's brought to them. God sends a man after his own heart and said, here's the food. This will give you life. Eat. Take. Eat. This is his body. It's broken for you. Eat it. And they say, no. No, I hate that. Oh, I can't stand it. The soul hates it. It abhors it. And all manner of it. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me about God. Just hush. Leave it alone. I don't want to know about his son. I don't want to know about his holiness. I don't want to know that I'm nothing but sin and all my flesh is grass and it withers and I have no righteousness. It's dung. I got a 2 yards of dung at my house for my garden. And if the wind's right and the sprinklers are on, that thing gets wet, I smell it. Woo! I need to compost a little more. Every time I walk past it, I think that's the very best works that I can do. God is dung outside of Christ. It's dung. It's manure. All manner of it. And mankind's a fool because they don't want to hear it. Someone who physically won't eat. If that's only the problem, like these people in prisons go on hunger strikes and stuff. And they get deathly ill. And they say, here, just have some yogurt. Drink a little bit of milk. Have you some bread and honey. And you'll be fine. And it's, no, I still ain't going to do it. Well, you're an idiot. That's dumb. That's foolish, isn't it? Eat and live. And this gospel is brought to somebody. God sends it. It's his word, his meat, his gospel, his son. Eat this. It'll do you good. You live. Ah, fool. God says they're fools. Kevin, that's hard. Well, that's God's word. He said they're fools. And they draw near unto the gates of death. You see, this isn't speaking about physical healing, is it? Man's so worried about making this body function well. We all, if the Lord was pleased to heal us, we're still going to die. That impotent man he made to walk, those that are blind he made to see, those that had ears. Lazarus he brought from the grave, he still had to die. What good's that going to do you? We need spiritual healing, don't we? We need to be made whole on the inside. Though we ought to, as a side note, believers, if we have illnesses in this body, take it to the Lord. Lord, if you're pleased to heal me, do that. And if not, give me the grace to be okay with it. Give me the faith to believe you and be thankful for the pain that you've sent. We ought to do that. We ought to have as much sense. Paul told us that. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up from all for us all, how shall he not with him freely also give us all things? Well, he didn't heal me. Well, it didn't please him, but he gave me the grace to be okay with it, him, that being his will. But this body's drawing near to the gates of death. And I wish I could take every soul in this county and get them by the shoulders and shake them and let them know that this is their end. You're going to die. You're a fool and you're going to meet God. You're at the gates of death. Well, I'm young. Yeah, well, maybe you are for right now and you might walk out that door and die. The Lord might take the breath out of your heart right now, out of your lungs. We're at the gates of death. Quit being a fool and cry. Quit playing church and cry to the God that can actually save. Quit your vain repetitions in prayer and cry. Cry like there's a pistol held to your head. God, save me. He'll hear that. He'll hear a cry. The fool left to themselves, they do not cry to God. They have all kinds of churchy junk come out of their mouth, but they don't cry to God. And you know what they do cry to? We're reading Revelation 6. They're going to cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us in that day of judgment. Outside of God working in the heart of somebody, you know what they're still crying to? Rocks and mountains. They're crying to this earth. They're crying to things of this world. They're in the presence and judgment of Almighty God. Christ is in front of them. Instead of crying to Him, the fool still cries to rocks and mountains. They'll cry to a rock. Those people praise the Lord who rode that ass in the town. And they said, "Why?" The Pharisee says, "Why are y'all hush? Why are you being so loud? Why are you praising him?" And he said, "You let them go." He said, "If they didn't cry, these rocks would cry out to me. A dumb rock has enough sense to cry out to the Lord. That's his power. But in the day of his power, they'll cry to him. His people will. And we're made to see our foolishness and our inability that Christ is the only one who's able to save us. We'll cry out. We truly know we're sick and we truly know he's the physician, we'll cry to him. It says in verse 19, then, it lists all these fools, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and he saveth them out of their distresses. What happened before this? That's a period there, isn't it? What, What happened before this? What led these people that are fools, that if left alone, they'll cry to rocks and mountains to fall on them? What changed? What made it to differ? What happened? Verse 20, he sent his word. He'll save them from out of their distresses. Why? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The Lord must send his word before we'll have new hearts that are not foolish. He must send his word before we're not trespassing and before we're fools that's just not so self-centered in our own evil, wicked ways and that do not hate his meat. When he sends his word effectually, then we cry out to him. You cannot cry out to someone you've never heard of. And you will not cry out unless you're in trouble. You got to be in trouble to cry out. That's the hard part. The hard part's not lifting a person up. We can fluff egos. Oh, it's so good. And we're so thankful for you. And just go and go and go and go. And you can buff somebody up. Oh, you did such a good job. I'm so thankful for that. I'm not in the business of fluffing egos. And I ain't good at it. And I'm thankful I ain't good at it. What's the hard part? That's the easy part. Bringing somebody down. You know, I can insult somebody. I can wound somebody, but I can't break a proud heart. I don't have that ability. God must do it. He must send his word in power and break the cold, stony heart. That's what he does for his people. You know, that's who this is to. Look here in verse 4. Psalm 107, verse 4. This is speaking to God's elect. Psalm 107, 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then, you ever been lost? I know some people that ain't never been lost, and my heart cries out for them. You ever been thirsty? Your soul ever fainted, and you cried out? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 11 says, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. You ever rebelled against him? Therefore, he brought down their heart, and they fell down, and there was none to help. You ever been helpless? You've been without hope, and all you could do is just cry. Verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. That's what happens to God's people. Nebuchadnezzar experienced that, didn't he? It says, and at the end of the days, he's brought down all fours. He walked around like a beast for 7 years and grew feathers, was eating grass. Then, at the end of those days, then Nebuchadnezzar lifted up my eyes into heaven and my understanding returned to me and I blessed the Most High. He cried out to God. He praised God. Did Paul, old Saul of Tarsus, did he find that out? Was that his experience? It's life and death. We ought to be keen to these things. So in Acts 9, the Lord spoke to Ananias. The Lord stopped Paul on the road to Damascus. He had marching orders to go persecute the church, to kill them, imprison them. The Lord stopped him and blinded him and brought him down. And then he comes to Ananias and says, Ananias, you go talk to Paul. Oh, Saul of Tarsus, he's down there. And Ananias says, Lord, you know who that is. I got to go preach to them. I got called to Pakistan to preach. What if I got called to Ukraine to preach? I've been in a war-torn country before, but I had armor and a gun. I could fight back. I had a fighting chance. And I says, I know this fella. And the Lord said, behold, he prayeth. Something had changed, didn't it? Saul of Tarsus was a fool. He was a fool. He knew theology, but he didn't know God. He knew philosophy, but he didn't know God. He knew the law inside and out. He knew religion. He knew what order everything's supposed to do, what he's supposed to say. And this here's when we're supposed to pray. And we're supposed to do it this time. You got to have three songs. He knew everything, didn't he? He knew the church history, but he didn't know grace. He didn't know grace. He was a fool. And then God stopped him. And God struck him down. And God blinded him. And now he's praying. He ain't never done that before. He had said some prayers, but he had never prayed to God. He never cried out to God. Why? He was in trouble. Lord brought him down. Why did Nebuchadnezzar cry? Because he brought down. He had trouble. What hope? If somebody's in distress, if somebody's in trouble, That's hopeful. There's still breath in their lungs, and they're crying out to God. There's hope. I pray I could remember that. What a blessing it is to be brought down in body and mind and spirit in anything if it makes us cry out to the Lord. Whatever means He uses. God will meet us where our point of rebellion is. That's where He'll deal with us. And that's where He'll break. It's different for each of us. That's where God's going to meet you, and that's where God's going to break you. Right at your point of rebellion. But that's hopeful. I wish I had the boldness and the wisdom every time a child of God says something horrible happened. What we consider horrible. I lost a job, I lost a child, I got cancer, I'm going blind, I'm losing my mind, whatever it is, I wish I had the strength and the wisdom to cry out, wonderful. Good news, good. Why? Because you're going to see Christ again. Just like we saw the first hour. What are you going to show whenever Abram cried out, Lord, show me something? He showed him. Lord, how can I know? Take me a heifer. You're going to look at that sacrifice. You're going to see the smoke because it's accepted. You're going to see the light. God's in it. It's His doing. You're going to be brought to His feet again. You're going to heal and you're going to be delivered again. And you're going to save. He's going to save you out of your distress one more time. That's the end state for the child of God. In every trial, in every stormy wind that blows, that's Him is who you're going to see. That's a blessing, isn't it? Now, if I wish I had the boldness to tell you that. I wish I had the strength to tell myself that. How soon I forget. Verse 19 says, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. Period. Who does God heal? Fools, the lowly, His enemies, the weak, the rebels. Is that you? Has He broken your pride yet? When does He save them? When does He heal them? When He brought them to cry out to Him, not to mommy, not to cry out to daddy, not to cry out to a preacher, not to cry out to old Mother Mary, unto the Lord. And they cry unto Him. And any time that's ever happened, there has never been a true sinner with a repentant heart that cried out to Christ and did not receive mercy. It ain't never happened. Why? He has to give that. He has to give it. And what He requires, He provides. What happened for this to come to pass? Verse 20, after the period, in verse 19, it says, He sent His word. What word? I want to look at that for a second. Christ the incarnate word. He sent His Son. That's what it was. Turn over to John 1. John chapter 1. If we're going to be healed of our distresses and our death that we are, the Lord is going to have to send His Son, His Word, Christ the incarnate Word. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Is that what's needed? Are you dead in trespasses and sins? Do you need life? Are you a dead fool? Christ is life. In Him is life. We read that in 1 John 4. This is manifest the love of God towards us, that because He sent His only begotten Son into the world, He sent His Word, Christ the living Word, that we might live through Him. He is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent His Word. He sent His Word. He sent His Son. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. For fools, for enemies, for rebels, trespassers, the Lord sent His Son. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, but of Him, of the Father, are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom God has made unto us wisdom. Was you a fool? What changed? Christ was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This world may still consider me a fool. I'm still going to make some foolish decisions. I'm going to plant trees when in a month I ought not plant them. I'm going to make some dumb mistakes. But Christ is my wisdom. I was a fool before. I was looking to myself before. I was looking to religion before. But now I understand and know Him. It's wise for a person to know how God can be just and justify sinners. Christ has to be made our wisdom for us to get a hold of that. He's my wisdom. A fool has nothing but iniquity. Christ is my righteousness. The foolish old man in me has enough sense to cry out to the rocks and the mountains to hide from God. I try to separate myself from God. He's my sanctification. He's the one that separated me to Himself. He cleansed me. He made me holy. The foolish, unable, sinful worm has been bought with a price. A price I could not pay. He's my redemption. His blood redeemed me. God sent His Word and He healed His people. That's first. He sent His Word. What's that? He sent Christ. He has the preeminence in all things, doesn't He? What else did He send with His Word? He sent us His written Word, His revealed Word. What we looked at earlier, Abram didn't have. We do. Lord gave this and He's preserved it for us. In black and white, in plain words, at an eighth grade reading level, we can get a hold of this. He gave us His written Word. Peter told us that. Said we turn over to Luke 24. You'll be turning there to Luke 24. Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. That's what we looked at this morning. We have His Word. This is the revealed Word. But it points to Christ. It points to Him. Luke 24, verse 25. He's walking that road to Emmaus. And he said unto them, in Luke 24, 25, He said unto them, O fools. Who did He speak to? Who did the Word say a word to? Fools. O fools, and slow of heart to believe, you full of unbelief, all that the prophets have spoken. Do you not believe in what God's Word says? You're a fool. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scripture things concerning Himself. You know what a blessing it is. It's not to apply a systematic theology and to try to find Christ in a Scripture and you're bending it, contorted, but to see Him. This is Him pictured. It's a person that's pictured. That's a blessing. God must do that. He must send His Word, Christ the Word, and reveal Him in His written Word to us. That's the revelation. People call it revelations. They always throw an end on it. They're just one. There's one thing to be revealed. Him. Him. Paul told Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make one wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then he tell them, the Lord told the Pharisees, He said, you had these Scriptures, you think there's life in them. Well, what's the difference between what Paul said and what Christ said to the Pharisees? He said, there's salvation through faith which is in Christ. Believe in Him and reading this Word, now you got something. Now you got something. Any healing of a sinner will be according to that which is written, and it will be according to the Word of God. That's the instruction. My pastor gave an illustration before I was born, and he said the written Word of God is like a label on a bottle of medicine. That's what it is. It's the instruction of how much of the medicine to take, how often to take it. We can enter into that, don't we? It tells us of what's in the bottle. We don't need just written instructions alone. We need the medicine. We need that with it, don't we? What's my job? I show up somebody in a hospital bed, dead and dying. I'm fine. I don't diagnose the problem. I don't try to treat every symptom. I just give the medicine. It's the same medicine. Comes in different doses. Some may take it orally. Some may take it in IV. Some may get a shot. Medicine's the same. He sent His Word in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what we read in John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. God, the Holy Ghost, won't come unto you. But if I go away, I'll send Him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin for the first time ever. When God the Holy Ghost comes to somebody, you're going to find out you're a fool. You trespassed. You've sinned against God. And righteousness, the Word of God. He sent His Word to show us what we are and to show us the only righteousness that is, and the only righteousness God requires is His Son. It's Christ. And of judgment. I know what judgment I rightfully earned, and I know what judgment Christ bore in my place. And it's satisfied. It's done. The smoke came through. The light was there in those pieces. God's accepted Him. And I'm in Him. That means I'm accepted. That's my assurance, isn't it? What if a fool won't eat the meat? Christ came to this earth. People deny that. As well, it's as if He came. That's what John was talking about, 1 John, the Gnostics. It wasn't as if He came. Some said, well, He ain't come yet. No, He has come. He walked this earth. He came. The Lord sent His Word. His written Word's here. He's preserved that for us. He's given that to us. He sent His Holy Spirit to give us life. What if a fool won't eat the meat? The Lord said, and you will not come to Me that you may have life. Don't do it. God has to send His Son, the Word, human flesh, and He has to send His written Word that bears record of Him coming, Him fulfilling it, and He must send the Holy Spirit to do the convincing. The Spirit of the power must blow on that. He said, all that will give Me shout to Me, and him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise come. No one can come to Me except the Father which sent Me draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day. They'll be healed. Well, I thought you said I can't. I thought you said I won't. Well, it's got to be God to send His Word, to send the Holy Spirit to blow on our hearts and make us willing in the day of His power. 2 Thessalonians. I'll let you go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, what's our surety in this? Just as Abram. How can I know? 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Why would they cry out? Because God sent His Word. He sent Christ for them. He sent His Word to tell them about it. And He sent the Spirit to sanctify them in the truth that He's given. That's revealed in Him. And belief of the truth. We believe Him. We believe Him. You understand it? Not all the time, but I believe Him. It's so. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been, whether for our epistle. We have both. Paul was writing this epistle that we have now at this time. And he said, you got the Word. You got the written Word. And you know Him. And the Spirit's come to you and sanctify you. Hold on to that. Cling to Him. What's that mean? I only got a sliver. Grab a hold of Him. And don't you dare let go. Be where He is. Be where His people are. Be with Him. Therefore, brethren, verse 15, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by the Word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace, comfort your heart, establish you in every good word and work. What's that everlasting consolation? The Lord said He was going to send His Word. He's going to heal them and deliver them from their destructions. How long is that going to last? That's everlasting consolation. That's everlasting consolation. And a good hope through grace. Free grace. Sovereign grace. Unmerited and purposed by God. And it shall come to pass. All that the Father gave Him, He'll lose nothing. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. I know what God's promised He will do. I know what He has done. I can see on occasion what he's doing now. But boy, I pray. It's my prayer. He would bring somebody down to cry unto him. They ain't got nothing to do but just weep. Not, I shed a tear. Weep. And there's snot going everywhere and the eyes are puffy for 2 days. There's a reaction to this. To say, I had 15 minutes of devotional time. No, this is life. Life and death. I pray the Lord bring somebody down and make him cry unto him and see that he healed them and that they are forever delivered from the destruction that they set up for themselves. What would be left if that happened? If Christ our assurance, if we see what he's done. He did all this. I rightfully earned death. He stood my place. We're going to praise him. Ain't we? We'll cry out for mercy. Mercy's given. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's sing a song for it. Let's praise him. That's what we do. All right. Brother Mike.